Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. We do this every Monday and Thursday night from 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you miss it, don't worry. We got you covered the very next day because we got ourselves on podcast form on Apple and Spotify. But however you listen, make sure you're liking, subscribing, and giving us a good review because we never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shad. I am a contributor at zonecoverage.com as well as The Viking Age, which this show is about. To my right is my managing editor, Adam Patrick, over at The Viking Age. And I don't really have some cue to open, as you can tell. So how about we just dive right into it, Adam?
Let's do it.
Well, starting our show off is that Kevin O'Connell said there is a competition at the center position. Now, he didn't say Garrett Bradbury is screwed, but he discussed some of Garrett Bradbury's struggles on Saturday and basically said what everything that Viking fans already know. He's good in the run game, but he needs to work on his pass protection. He also mentioned that some of the struggles are due to some of the mental mistakes along the offensive line and that Ed Donatell, Mike Pettin, and the rest of the defensive staff have been scheming him to try and test him, as other teams are going to do the same, which is a valid point. So what do you think about the possibility of a center competition? And are you buying Kevin O'Connell's reasoning for Garrett Bradbury's struggles?
I like the competition, and I partially believe Kevin O'Connell. I believe when he talks about, you know, Ed Donatell and Mike Pettin are good at scheming things up defensively, especially when it comes to the pass rush, because this is true. They have a pretty good track record of doing that. I also agree when he talks about Bradbury being good in the run game. Not great, but good. His run block grade from PFF last season ranked 22nd out of 39 centers in the NFL, so he's clearly a better run blocker than a pass blocker, especially since his PFF pass block grade ranked 35th out of 37 centers last season. A pass block grade from Bradbury, which was actually the best of his three seasons in the league. So not very good. However, Chris, what have we been hearing about this offense? Why have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and KJ Osborne had giant grins on their faces whenever they're asked about the Vikings' new offense?
Because, I don't know, Adam. You tell me.
Because it's Minnesota is switching more towards a pass-first offensive scheme, meaning if Bradbury is on the field this season, he's likely going to be pass-blocking more than he ever has before in his career. And based on his history, more pass-blocking for Bradbury is incredibly worrisome. And I think the Vikings have realized this in training camp, and I think that's a big reason why Chris Reed has been moved to be the second team center. It's not a coincidence that he was moved to center the day after the Vikings had their first padded practice and Bradbury was just getting, you know, bowled over by opposing defensive linemen. So, you know, the Vikings, they really just have to figure out what they want to do with Bradbury, because when it comes to the type of offense that they want to run this year, which by all indications is more pass oriented, Bradbury is really a terrible fit.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of one of the shocking things of the offseason when O'Connell went up to the podium at the NFL scouting combine and basically said, hey, we really like Garrett Bradbury. There's a reason he was a first round pick. We think he can do great things in the scheme, because everybody that's watched the guy in the past 3 years as Viking fans has gone, he's the weakest link of the offense. And to O'Connell's point, defenses are going to scheme against the weak link of the offensive line. You could have four all pro offensive linemen, but if you have one bad player, and this is Garrett Bradbury, they will target him, they will scheme, they will stunt, they will do whatever they can to isolate him in one-on-one matchups. So I think that's a good thing that the Vikings are doing in testing Bradbury early, but it also concerns me that they didn't really bring in any real competition. Like, Chris Reed has never played center before in the NFL regular season. I think Jesse Davis is entrenched at guard right now. If Ed Ingram beats him out, I don't know. Austin Schlottman, you're going to put Austin Schlottman over there? He hasn't played at center in the regular season either. There's no competition for him, and this shouldn't have been a surprise. So, I mean, now that Garrett Bradbury is basically getting...
Uh-oh. Chris froze. Uh-oh. Where'd he go? Uh-oh. We lost Chris. We lost him. All right. Well, Chris is gone. So we're talking about Garrett Bradbury here, and Chris,
hang on.
Are you there? You there? You there?
Great, great YouTubing. Have we seen it?
All right, we're back.
Seen me yet?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're back.
All right, where did I cut off before?
You're just cut off about, you know, the Vikings not bringing in a ton of people to compete with Garrett Bradbury in the first place, even though they're saying there's competition. The competition that he has isn't that great. And that's what you were pretty much talking about.
Yeah, I was so mad I just froze about it. Like, I mean, anybody with a, I don't want to say a brain, because Kevin O'Connell seems really smart, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go on, all you had to do was do a Pro Football Focus. Like, look, and I know coaches hate Pro Football Focus because those nerds don't know what's going on. They don't know the scheme. They don't know any of this.
Mike among Zimmer centers, hates Pro Football Focus.
Yes, among centers. I'm sure Kevin O'Connell uses it a lot more than Mike Zimmer did.
Yeah.
And like, from what I've heard, Tracy, maybe this was Darren Wolfson saying this, I can't remember, but he said Mike Zimmer got a lot of analytics and he just threw them in the trash. So like Garrett Bradbury, 2019, 29th overall grade out of 36 qualifiers. I use qualifiers as 20% of the league lead in snaps. I know people always say PFF qualifiers. I'm like, what does that mean? So now you know. 2020, 28th out of 39 qualifiers. 2021, 38th out of 41 qualifiers. Pretty not bad,
good.
Right?
Not good. Not good.
Yeah, it's not great. Now here's what I'm thinking, though. Like, Austin Blythe with the Los Angeles Rams. In 2019, mm-hmm. Austin Blythe had a grade worse than Garrett Bradbury. He was 36 out of 36 centers. The following season, he was 13th. 69.3. He parlayed that into a big contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? They took, and I don't have this in my notes because apparently I
Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, no, not Creed Humphrey. He plays for the Chiefs. Who is the Rams center? Like, I'm blanking right now because I had it written down. Anyway, whoever it was, he was 13th. I can tell you that much. He was 13th among centers.
Yeah.
And then cashed in on a 3-year, $24 million deal. That is going to annoy me. So do you think Garrett Bradbury is going to win this job or what?
Brian Allen.
Thank you.
There we go. Right now, I think I'd put it at 60-40 for Bradbury. I think the Vikings really want to try and make it work with Bradbury, but I also think and hope that this new coaching staff isn't just going to put, you know, someone out on the field like Bradbury just because he's a first round pick. You know, we already kind of talked about this, but what's helping Bradbury's case is that guys like Chris Reed, someone who has never really played center before, is the second team center. And, you know, this has been obvious that he hasn't really played center before when he's got snaps hitting the ground and going over people's heads during training camp. But if Reed can work on improving his snapping skills and he can have some good showings in the Vikings preseason games this summer, you know, I won't be surprised if Chris Reed is their week one starter against the Packers. Now, if he is, what is this? What do you think this means for Bradbury? Do the Vikings keep him around? Do they cut him? Do they try and trade him? You know, what do you think would happen to Bradbury if Chris Reed was the week one starter?
I think they would search for a trade. I think Billy Price was the first round pick by the Bengals last year, and they wound up finding a team that could take him at the deadline. Like, if you're thinking, like, who could they trade him to? Like, there's nobody out there. Like, who would want Garrett Bradbury? Well, first of all, a team traded for Billy Price, like I said. But, I mean, you know, there's going to be camp cuts. And if somebody like Kevin O'Connell, who obviously saw potential coming in from the Rams organization, then kind of got to camp and went, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Like, yeah. You know, going around and changing that up, you know, some other team's going to look at Garrett Bradbury the same way and be like, we can fix him. But really, they can't.
What is your percentage?
60.
Yeah.
60-40. I'll put it at that. I mean, like I said, Chris Reed has been botching snaps left and right, like you mentioned. That's why Audie Cole. Oh my God. I froze. I forgot who the Rams center was. I trifecta. Bad things come in threes. So I think we're good for the rest of the show.
Okay, I think
but Mason Cole was doing the same thing last camp, and he didn't get the starting job until he figured out how to snap the ball. So, I think Bradbury's at least going to start the season, and if he gets killed, I mean, Arif Hasan was on. Yeah, Arif Hasan said last week that this is the worst, like, training camp Garrett Bradbury has had, like, overall. Like, this is, out of all the training camps, this is the worst Garrett Bradbury has looked.
That's not good.
So, that's not definitely not good, especially when you didn't bring anybody in, especially when you took a, you know, linebacker, a Chaz Surratt clone with your 66 overall pick instead of taking a center.
Yeah.
Like they kind of deserve this.
Yeah. And Harrison Phillips, a good, solid defensive tackle, but he's not an all pro and he's just manhandling. The reports are saying he manhandling Bradbury in the middle there. So what's going to happen when Kenny Clark is across from him? And a bunch of other guys too. What Jordan Davis? Did you see the video of Jordan Davis just plowing that guy, like putting him on skates?
Did you see the other video of Jordan Davis getting moved by a guy hopping like a rabbit though? Because I saw before the show too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless that was in reverse, and I'm just getting. getting
I think it was. Here. I think it was because the guy was hopping backwards like a rabbit. So I think you fell for it.
We are 0 for 4 today. I am Miguel Sano.
It's a Monday. Who cares? If this is Bradbury's worst camp, that is not good. Like, that's not good because center is not a position I feel like where you can just be like, oh, we'll get him the week before the first game. And we'll plug him in there. Kirk will be fine, especially with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not going to be someone who's like, oh yeah, I can do it with anybody. No, that's not how he rolls. He's got a no year.
You're not buying into his tennis like training, improving his agility.
Yeah.
Sampras, man.
Him and Drew Brees. That's if there was a guy that Kirk Cousins was striving to be like, Drew Brees is definitely that guy with all the stats and no Super Bowls. So, Garrett Bradbury, not good. The Vikings have a problem, but I think the preseason games will be a good chance for them to figure some things out and see some things, explore, test some things. I think Garrett Bradbury should play in the preseason. You know, we talk about Kevin O'Connell, probably not going to play a lot of his starters, but Bradbury, he needs to be in there.
I think he's
fighting for a job.
In a competition, you're going to play, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's what I would assume. Play. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll be able to tell who's not really in the competition. Like if Dancer doesn't play on Sunday when they play the Raiders, I think that's a pretty good indication that the Vikings feel like he's already the number two. So we might be able to find some of that stuff out.
Their goal has to be get Garrett Bradbury through the season. That had to be what they were thinking about because there's no way they were looking at him going, this is a long-term center project.
Well, they declined his fifth-year option.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, they probably looked at it. They're like, we can't afford the top options. We don't want to draft anybody. We don't like this class. Let's roll him back out there and see what happens. And the results has been predictable so far.
JC Treader must have the worst knees in the world, right?
For the, or he's for the part Vikings. Of the labor union and the owners don't want to deal with
he
that.
He is. But I feel like a team like the Vikings wouldn't care about, like, I know the Wilfs, I don't know how much they're involved in, like, but they don't seem like a Jerry Jones type of owner that would hold a grudge against a player because of that. But who knows? You never know.
Anyway, getting on to our next topic after a rough topic. I promise I'm just getting warmed up. We got four topics today, so maybe that's just like a warm up for me.
You had a Garrett Bradbury-esque performance. Yeah. Let's have a Christian Darrisaw performance.
Well, yeah, speaking of Christian Darrisaw, he looks like a beast at training camp, and there's one common denominator between everybody, and they all think he looks like Trent Williams. Albert Breer raved about him in a tweet last week. He said there are shades of Trent Williams in his movement. Another quote from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, they think he's going to be really, really good. He hit him with a double, really. That's impressive. He had already exceeded the expectations of those who were already on the staff. And the comparison I get here is Trent Williams. The coaches on the staff are calling him future Trent Williams. The Vikings tried to trade for Trent Williams during the 2020 mm-hmm. draft before they selected Ezra Cleveland. Different regime, but... You know, what are your expectations for Christian Darrisaw entering year two?
First off, I'll get this out of the way. I always find it interesting when, like, insiders like Ian Rappaport are suddenly turning into analysts in the summer, giving their perspective on teams. And it's like, are you doing this to improve your relationship with the team so you can get info later? Or is this just your real feelings? But I'll just get that out of the way. I think it's fair to think that Christian Darrisaw can be a borderline Pro Bowl left tackle, like, at the least next season. You know, we spoke earlier about how Garrett Bradbury is a better run blocker than a pass blocker. And this was also the case for Darrisaw last season. But his grades were much, much better than Bradbury's. I believe out of the entire Vikings offensive line, Darrisaw had the best run blocking grade from PFF last season, and that was also 15th out of 79 offensive tackles in the whole NFL, and his PFF pass blocking grade was second among Vikings offensive linemen, behind only Brian O'Neill. So, you know, the comparisons to Trent Williams, they are nice to hear, but I don't think anyone believes Darrisaw is about to be an all-pro this season. I think he can still take some big steps, and he still has a ton of potential. But I also think we also need to realize that he is still in his second season and he's still going to have some hiccups probably. But I think it's reasonable to expect Darrisaw at the very least to maintain like his PFF run blocking grade and maybe finish with a pass blocking grade above 70. And I think he's capable of getting a grade around 80 too, which are pretty good if you're an offensive tackle. So I think borderline Pro Bowl, wouldn't be surprised if he made the Pro Bowl. I feel like that's his ceiling for next season.
I think the goal here, short term, is Bryant McKinney, right? Because when you look at the two, Bryant McKinney came out of Miami. He had that weird lawsuit or something, so he sat out the first. He sat out till like November, if I remember right. And then you know he was kind of shaky a little bit. And then he kind of took off in that second year. And granted, he was inconsistent. Like, but when he was on, he was an all-pro talent. I think Darrisaw can be that, plus add that consistency. So when we look at Christian Darrisaw going into this season, you see a guy that got his feet wet, kind of came in a little bit banged up. He's been healthy all offseason. He's been able to train properly. He's been able to do all these things, and now they're starting to pay off on the field. And if he's taking a huge leap, like I'm interested to see how all these guys look in the 49ers practice, because we're not going to see him against the Raiders. Like we'll see him in that 49ers practice. If he's stoning dudes, like that's awesome. That's an awesome development. Kirk's problem has not been with the tackles. However, it's been up the middle, but if you could take care of the bookends, you know, that's going to make the job easier for the interior. So yeah, the more I hear about Christian Darrisaw, the more I like it.
Yeah. He'll be going against what? Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, maybe a little bit, you know, bunch of talented pass rushers they have in San Francisco. They have a good defense, Javon Kinlaw on the inside there. So he'll have some tough tests probably in those practices. So it'll be fun to watch. Yeah. I'm curious to see how he does this season. They obviously think he has a lot of potential. They're all raving about him, but you know, this is a Vikings offensive lineman we're talking about. This is not a team, you know, it's an entirely different regime. This was someone who was selected by the previous regime. So we have to be aware of that, you know, he might have upside right now, but Matt Khalil had a lot of upside at one point and then he fell off a cliff. So I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative here, but I root for the Vikings and I follow this team for a while. I know not to get excited about an offensive lineman in the preseason. So that's what I'm just doing here, but I still think he has a ton of potential. I think he has a lot more potential than a lot of guys who have played left tackle previously for the Vikings.
Devil's advocate too, just to kind of piggyback off of your thing. What else are the coaches going to say?
Right.
Oh, he looks like fifth year Matt Khalil out there. I don't know. His knees might be shot. Because if they say that, other defensive coordinators are going to say, what now? Okay. Let's screw Brian O'Neill. We'll just send everybody to the left side. It'll be fine.
Right. Right.
No.
Well, so, if this was Zimmer, he'd be right. We would know that Garrett Bradbury is having a terrible training camp. It wouldn't just be things that reporters are picking up on by who's playing on the field. Mike Zimmer would be like, oh, you know, he could be better out there. But no, Kevin O'Connell's trying everything he can to boost everyone up. And it's a different approach, but I think it's one that's appreciated by not only the fans, but the people in the locker room too, because they're just used to probably being beaten down for the last few years. And finally, they're just like, okay, I'm not doing that great, but at least the coach isn't like throwing me under the table in the media.
Hey, it's funny you mentioned Mike Zimmer because he appeared. A wild Mike Zimmer appeared in the wilderness.
He's alive.
Over the weekend. He is alive. He was on the sidelines at Cincinnati Bengals camp over the weekend. Didn't say anything, which is not surprising because he hates the media, but he was talking to the play-by-play guy. He likes play-by-play guys, but probably not like the actual like beat reporter.
Chris Thomason wasn't there?
Chris Thomason was not. Maybe he was hiding in like it is the jungle over there in Cincy. Maybe he's like sitting there staking out just like, hey, Mike, Chris here. Retreat back.
Tried to talk to Mike Zimmer, but he hung up on me.
But he sprinted the other way. He called me a dirty word that I probably can't say on this podcast. Yeah. we still have not heard from Mike Zimmer. Well, let's start it this way. I just want to say it's good to see him out in his element before I get into everything else, because that report came out where, you know, he said he was going through a rough time. You know, you and I have both gone through, you know, anxiety and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, when you're down, you feel that way, especially for a guy who's Zimmer who cared. Like, he wanted to win. Yeah. He always talked about winning one for the fans and everything else. And I mean, that kind of gets swept under the rug when we talk about Zimmer, because he was the mean old crusty guy and nobody liked him and he didn't say hi to people in the hallway. And like, in situations like this, I think things get exaggerated a little bit, That's what we're seeing with Zimmer. But that being said, do you think he'll ever come out about what happened at the end of his time in Minnesota, or is this just kind of...
I don't think so. I think a lot of people are waiting for that to happen, but I don't think he's going to, because I don't think he cares. That's not the type of guy that he is. He's not Rick Spielman. He doesn't need to be in the spotlight to tell everyone kind of how everything went. Because I don't think he cares. Because if he wants to tell you something, he's going to tell you to your face. And everything he's said probably already is what he had to say. So I don't think we're going to find out. You know, maybe in the future, if he's smart, he'll write a book and share everything that happened. I don't even think he wants to do that.
Get your money, man. He said he wants to write a book before. Right. What would be the title of Mike Zimmer's book? Is it it's not Run the Damn Ball. I think Mike Vrabel's got that trademarked, but.
Oh, tweet this or.
Tweet that.
How do you like, what did he say? He messed up.
You like how that tastes?
Yeah.
So creepy. You like how that tastes? No, get away from me. This is, you know, Tom Schreier was on the Homer Horn podcast. He was talking about Mike Zimmer, and he said the first memory he had of Mike Zimmer was when he got shorted a burger at McDonald's, And he went up to the podium the next day and like lamented about it. So McDonald's sent him free burgers. Like, just like, I'm the head coach of the Vikings. This will do it. Like, Dinky Town.
Didn't he talk about like getting, I remember some early mic'd ups when he'd be like, I can get DB from like 7-Eleven. I don't need you like out here. Like, in what
cover two yeah. corner.
Yeah. So like, that's when he was enjoyable and fun, when he was new and they were kind of, they had an upside, but then towards the end, everyone's like, no, thanks. It was good to see him out there on the field getting some sun. I believe Pac-Man Jones was out there too, and Ocho Cinco was out there. So he got to interact with some old players of his. It was just good to see him out in the open, come out of the basement where he might have been for the last few months, just leaving the ranch in the real world. And maybe just, implanting planting some seeds for potentially being the Bengals defensive coordinator if there's leaves in the next year or two.
I want to see Pac-Man Jones become a coach. Oh. Like, that would just be wild to me. But as far as Zimmer goes, here's the other thing. And I was like, what does he have to gain by coming out and ripping the Vikings now? Like, right. all the Lieber and PA stuff about, oh, yeah, he wanted to fight Kirk Cousins on the sideline in Detroit. What does it matter now? Like, they're getting ready for the season. Everybody's moving on. I mean, what's he going to do? Come out week 17 and be like, yeah, I hated Kirk. Like, he didn't want to do this. He didn't want to do that. I think last year was a sum of all errors. But, like, for Zimmer, he wants to coach again. He wants to – I mean, there are some things that kind of came out that didn't make him look so good. But, I mean, obviously his reputation in the NFL is like, this guy knows what he's doing defensively. Right. Let's bring him in. So
He was just getting praised by – Aaron Rodgers on the Pardon My Take podcast or whatever, saying how Zimmer's defense was one of the toughest he's gone against. So
yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is on drugs, which is actually our last thing. Is that your way of just saying, hey, move along? Because no, like, I'm just out of it today. Or
no, what? No. I'm just mentioning that he's still very respected around the league by a lot of people, regardless of all the reports. I think he's someone who Greg Williams got a job after Bountygate. He still has a job. I think he's still in the, or he might be in like the XFL. I think he might be in the XFL now. But he was back in the NFL after Bountygate. So to think that whatever reports came out about Zimmer and how he was is going to affect him getting a job, in the future in the NFL is hilarious, because coaches don't care, first off, because a lot of these guys just know each other and they know whether those things are true or not. And a lot of them don't care. So like, if Sean Payton comes back next year and is the coach of like the Cowboys or someone else, you don't think Mike Zimmer is going to be like at the top of his list as a possible defensive coordinator?
Well, he absolutely will.
Yeah. So I don't think these reports are going to affect his future. And like I said, I don't expect Zimmer to talk at all, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't. If he had something to say, he would. We know that. So I don't think he really cares.
Well, like I said, I mean, Aaron Rodgers said that, oh, it was great pressure. Maybe he just saw like 30 Vikings because he was drinking too much of that psychoactive tea.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah, unless you missed it. Aaron Rodgers said he's been drinking this stuff, and there's, what was the name of the drug?
Ayahuasca.
You said you read a whole article on it, so maybe I'll let you lead this conversation.
Wasn't that long.
He said that it made him a better player and a better lover. So my first question is, how is this not covered in the NFL drug policy? Because everybody gets suspended for weed and gambling and everything, except for, you know, whatever Deshaun Watson's doing. So I don't know. We're just going to, we got bigger things to worry about. You just get on your LSD there, Ringo Starr, and you go win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I found an article today. It was just from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, because he posted that he asked the NFL and NFLPA, and they both told him that ayahuasca is neither prohibited compound under the substance abuse policy, and it's not a PED either. So, but he Florio did mention that the primary ingredient in ayahuasca, which is DMT for short, I'm not going to read the super long name of it, is a Schedule I drug under federal law in the United States. But apparently, the NFL doesn't really care if players use it, which is interesting. I think it's just because players, if they do use it, it's not like a regular thing. One, because it can mess you up real bad. I'll tell you some of the side effects in a minute. But, you know, if someone was using it more regularly, then maybe the league would look into maybe like penalizing players for using it. But right now, it just seems like something where players go on random retreats, or at least just Aaron Rodgers, because the retreats, I looked them up. There's none in the U.S. because it's illegal. But they got to go to like Costa Rica, Peru, Brazil, Mexico is the closest, and Portugal. Like, you got to go somewhere to get this. But it is supposed to offer a lot of benefits for people who suffer from like depression, social anxiety, addictions to drug and alcohol. But the side effects of ayahuasca include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, vertigo, and dizziness, all of which I secretly hope Rogers experienced when he used it. And there is one benefit that might help him, which is it can be known to help improve your memory like greatly. So if he's out on the field, just remembering everything, that could be something that helps him. But at the same time, how can you even measure that? But right now it's just something that people go at just for a trip and just have a trip.
The more you know. Like, right. I wonder if this dude's going to drink a little too much and think he's being chased by actual Vikings during week one. Like, between that and his, I guess they're not girl. They probably have some, like, spiritual term for their relationship or something like that, where it's just like,
they have a pact.
They have a pact. They have a vow or something. Yeah. I don't know. I mean... It just seems weird to me. Like, if Josh Gordon was on this stuff, they would burn down his house.
You know, like, well, that's
the NFL would be like the SWAT team.
I was going to say, like, imagine if this happened. I would be, like, really interested to see what would happen if this came out, like, 10 years ago when the NFL was handing out severe suspensions for players smoking weed, which is almost legal federally in the United States. Like, I bet someone like Ricky Williams saw this story and was just like, what the F? Like, I guess it's been for a whole year.
Yeah. Yeah. For weed. Like,
yeah. So yeah, it's
okay.
And it, you know, it's interesting because I feel like it's also the people that do it. I don't want to say this is race based, but I'm not going to lie and say that doesn't have anything to do with it. Cause I think if someone like, you know, let's say Ricky Williams did it. Well, that's not a good example because he hasn't played in a long time. But let's say Von Miller did it. Then people would be like, "Oh, he's a druggie, he's a drug head, or whatever." But like Aaron Rodgers does it, and it's like, well, you know, he's just exploring, you know, his body and his mind, and it's like, all right. But yeah, Rick Williams has to be pissed. He's got to be pissed.
Yeah, this is just such a weird. I mean, whatever you do during your free time, I mean, dude's been doing PK cleanses too, and like eating G. Yeah. And
here's the thing too, because like this thing, I have the same opinion on this as I do with like people doing weed or shrooms or alcohol or whatever. Like, if you get enjoyment from these substances and you're not causing any harm to yourself or anyone else, then go right ahead and use them. I don't care what you do. So like that's my opinion. Like I'm not gonna go to Costa Rica or whatever and do this. Probably maybe I will have like midlife crisis. Which, you know what, this could be what Rogers is doing. It really feels like he might be having a midlife crisis.
This should be a movie, honestly,
with his hair and his, you know, his entrance to training camp and everything. And it's like, all right, buddy, he's dating a witch or whatever. Okay, it's not a witch, allegedly. So yeah. He's interesting and he acts like he doesn't like the attention, but you know he loves the attention.
That's why he's doing it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. he talks about like blocking out all the distractions around him. And it's like, but you're the one who creates the distractions. You're the reason why. And he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if he doesn't understand that or he just likes to say that he doesn't so that he gets even more attention. But yeah, he's just annoying, man. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers already. I'd rather talk about Tom Brady.
I think it's a good sign that we have spent nearly half this podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers and his drugs as the offensive line, everything that's going on in Vikings camp. And I think it's a good, thing because Adam Thielen stepped up to the podium last week and said, there's a lot less yelling going on here. And I'm like, oh, what, really? Okay. That's interesting. Tell me more. The Vikings seem very calm. They don't seem very Viking like yet. We had the Irv Smith Jr. injury, but I mean, Sun game up the next day. Kevin O'Connell's probably like, more KJ Osborne. Let's go.
It's a finger. He didn't tear his ACL or get a broken foot or anything. It's a finger.
Yet. Right. Yeah. And on that note, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today.
Gotta call Aaron Rodgers and get some sage or something.
Kyrie Irving around here. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. If you miss it, we got you covered in podcasts from the very next day on Apple and Spotify. However you listen, subscribe, give us a 5-star review so you never miss a new episode. I'm Chris Shad. For Adam Patrick, I'm signing off. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save